Okay, my name is Ed Ackerman, Chairman of the Construction Service Commission. I'd like to call this meeting of the Construction Service Commission to order. It is now 9:34 a.m. on May 1st, 2019. This meeting is being held in the North Conference Room in the Heber Wells Building in Salt Lake City, Utah. Notice that this meeting is provided as required under Utah Open Meeting Law. In compliance with Utah Open Meeting Law, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. The recording will be posted in the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days following the meeting. In compliance with Utah Open Meeting Laws, written minutes will also be prepared of this meeting. Appropriately marked pending approval minutes will be available to the public no later than 30 days after the closing of the meeting. Approved minutes will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days after approval. The following board, committee, commission members are in attendance. Edward Axley, Chairman, Rob Allen, Russell Amaro, Merlin Taylor, Joseph Jensen, and Jason Peterson. Am I missing someone? Okay, wonderful. The following, well, everyone else is absent. Should I go down? All right. The following individuals representing Doppel in the Department of Commerce are in attendance. Chris Rogers, Ann England, Bobby Main, Corey Ann Fawcett. And who else is here that would like to speak up?
We have Stephen Duncombe, Jana Johansson, Pamela Bennett, and we have Robin Bartle. And that's it from Doppel.
Pamela. I don't have her on my list down here. Thank you so much, guys. We welcome any visitors and interested parties at this time. Please be sure to sign the attendance report for the meeting and identify yourself before speaking. Half of it so we can know who we're talking to. As a courtesy to everyone participating in this meeting at this time, we ask for all cell phones, pagers, and other electronic devices to be turned off or changed to silent mode. Board motions and votes will be recorded in the minutes. With that, let's now proceed with the agenda. Turn the time over to, well, maybe not, right? Let me just move on. We need to approve the minutes from the prior. Well, everybody, as we passed around the travel thing, I think that made it around.
Yeah. Does anybody need it over there?
No.
I think we've gotten all from it. Thank you so much. And then we need to approve the minutes of the prior meeting. So if we can take a second to review those, if we can have a motion to approve the minutes, that'd be great.
Rob Allen, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Joe Jensen, I make a motion to approve the minutes. Second.
Wonderful. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Thank you. We'll now turn the time over to Bobby Dean for the investigation update.
Okay, good morning. We've been very busy. I handed out a form with some of the actions that we've taken. Last month, we issued 76 citations, did 372 site surveys, that was 104 meetings with building inspectors, and closed 173 cases. Some of the administrative actions that we've taken, a burglar alarm agent showing a pattern of drug abuse. His license was revoked from notice of agency action. Another qualifier for a construction company had some mental health issues, and homeowner purchased a building lot only to find out the contractor had lost the property, spent the money, and failed to pay employees and subcontractors. That individual surrendered his license. And then another unlicensed contractor, or a licensed contractor hiring individuals on 1099. There's a $10,000 fine, a stipulation order with the division. We're still seeing the same problems that we've been seeing for the last, couple years of individuals that are licensed taking monies and going, doing half the job and moving on. I actually met with the district chief deputy from Utah County Attorney's Office and Assistant Attorney General, and they're going to get on board. They're getting on board and screen criminal charges for con fraud, so we can go after these guys for felonies instead of just letting them use their license, opening up another company somewhere. We did our caravan. And I don't know if Chris is going to talk about that. We visited Roosevelt, Price, Moab, Richfield and St. George, and what is it, about 600 or 700 contractors? Is that many?
Yeah, quite a few. Small.
And one of the biggest concerns that I had was, and Chris and I would both ask this question, we would come up with scenarios, and one of mine was, an electrician's in here? Yes. Okay, as an electrician, can you put in can lighting? As an electrician, can you cut the drywall to put in the can lighting? Nobody would want to answer. Of course you can. It's incidental to the work. But when asked an audience, about 250 people, how many people have read and know what's in the scope of your license? I think four people raised their hand that have actually read and know what they can do. So a lot of people are getting licensed, and they don't know that they can't do a driveway if they have a landscaper contractor. You can't do this. Or it's something that needs to be brought up. And we actually had a gentleman said, hey, I have an HVAC I'm an HVAC contractor. Can I do electrical? Can I do electrical and plumbing? I go, can you? He goes, I'm asking you. And I said, well, you need to know this is your license. You need to know what your job is. And afterwards, I met with him and let him know that he could, you know, do it. But we need to educate these guys and make sure these guys are aware of what they can and can't do. But other than that, it was a really good trip. We went down and went on a site visit, Chris and I. He bugged me until we got to go out and write somebody a citation.
So we wrote someone an $800 citation in Richfield. But come to find out, they actually came into compliance, or were actually in compliance, so we dismissed the citation.
Yeah, they didn't know that they were W-2s when they said, I think I'm a 1099. I got all the information, and I talked to the business owners, and you know, you want to explain to the people that work for you exactly how they're being paid and what you're doing. So it was a good trip. A lot of good questions and a lot of good feedback from the contractors
in St. George. So Mark Steinigel, our division director, Robin goes, Bobby goes, and I go. This year we spoke about investigations, we spoke about contractor licensing, we spoke about continuing education, and we kind of drove home some of the things they should be doing, things they can do, unprofessional conduct, unlawful conduct, and it was really good. We had a turnout of around 300 in St. George. And 60 to, you know, about 60 in every of the other locations. So it was good, and it's a free 3-hour CE for the contracts in those rural areas.
What was really interesting, Robin did the best presentations, I'll just say that first off. But what was really interesting is Chris would have a test for them to take, and a lot of the questions, you know, 50% would say true and 50% would say false, so they didn't really understand the.
We can do it. If you guys want to, we can do it. Interestingly enough, I set it up where you can do it on your phone. So maybe our next meeting, maybe not our next meeting because Representative Schultz is coming, but the meeting after that, I'll set it up where we'll go over some of those. Maybe it might be a good idea. So.
Yeah, and it was interesting. You know, we went over how to pay, you know, pay stubs are required, what's required on the pay stubs, when they need to be issued. It was a really good training, and this Robin covered the CEs and how to get their training and stuff, and it's pretty interesting some of the comments she got on what type of training you were providing. It was a fun trip.
It was like Groundhog Day. It was about 6 months in duration.
On Thursday,
how long did it take you guys to do this trip?
Well, we did it two different segments.
Okay. So last weekend, from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week,
we got to Moab. We left here at 8, got to Moab, did our presentation, got some dinner, went to the hotel. Then the next morning, we drove to Richfield, did our presentation in Richfield, got done there about 5, drove to St. George, threw an accident, had to be rerouted, had to go and grab stuff, and got late to the hotel, and Friday, by Friday, I think we were ready to come back home. But good, great people, great group of people, and some good feedback.
That's wonderful. Gee, you know, I'd be willing to bet that 98% of people out there don't know the difference between a W-2, a 1099, and a K-1.
Yeah.
You know? They just figure they get a paycheck, they don't know. They just say, well, whatever.
I try to make him not feel so bad. Before we gave a test, before Chris gave a test, I said, I scored a 60% on that last time I took it.
We're grading on a curve.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I think you guys are doing a fabulous job.
Thank you very much.
The fact that you guys you're close to me as you have in this month and everything like that, it's just amazing the volume you guys deal with. It's crazy. But thank you for doing that. Thanks for going out there and educating our people.
And I just want to let you know, Robin put everything together on this, and she did a fantastic job.
Thank you, Robin. All right, well, anything else, Bobby?
No, sir.
Can we turn time over to Brian for the probation update?
Sure. Okay, so this month we have 69 probationers on the contractor report. Pretty much all of them are doing pretty good. I'll just go over the ones that are marked bold. So Carter HVAC was positive for alcohol for a second time, so we have cited him $500. We let him know that this will be his last chance, so he needs to stay clean, so hopefully he will for it.
So when he tests positive like this, is this from testing or did he get caught somewhere?
Testing.
Okay.
Yeah. Then on custom Carter remodeling, I know in my last reports I had this on here. I don't know why I took it off, but he does have pending assault charges and child abuse charges. I will find out the sentencing tomorrow. So I will let Chris know, and then next meeting you guys will know the outcome of that. Tyler Hinkley has been on since May of 2014. His probation ends the 28th of this month. He's been great. Next page, Derek Hawes. He has had a hard time coming up with money to pay for tests, which is in a stipulation that he signed stating that he would be able to. So we have cited him twice. We have given him a deadline to get a test taken, or we will look into North of agency action on him. Lamont Jessup, or Infinite, he missed a test on March 29th. We cited him $250. And with him missing, we decided to do a test, which is a blood test. And we were right, came back positive for alcohol. So we cited him $500 also. So he has one more time, one more chance to stay clean. So. Next page, Nicholas Larson. He's been on since May of 2014 also, and he will end his probation the 25th of this month. And then the second to last page, Speedy Painting. He's been on here the last couple of reports. We're just still in the process of doing a notice of agency on him due to assault charges, has a warrant out for his arrest for not appearing to court, so, and he will not get back to me. And then the last one is Daniel Timothy Williams. He just came on in January, and he just decided that he didn't want to do it anymore, so he just quit checking in daily with us and testing, so we have submitted a notice of agency on him. Then the last one is James Taylor. He has been on here for a while too, but an ORSA agency has been sent to him. So we'll wait for his response. Other than that, everybody's been doing really good.
That's a big list.
It is a big list. And I think when he attended, it's going to get bigger.
That's crazy.
But for the most part, they're all doing really good.
How long does it take you to check in with these people? I mean, obviously it takes you.
Yeah, I check in with them monthly. So.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions or anything, guys? Or move on? Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Great report. Let's move on to the CSC statistics update.
Sure. Mr. Chair and Commission, it's a color-coded chart. It's kind of my standard update. It's really just some of the statistical information concerning the audit team and what's been going on, disciplinary actions. It's more kind of an FYI of kind of what we've been working on. I don't think there's anything remarkable, at least for March, in terms of it's kind of our standard. We opened 27 audit cases. We closed 37. We're going to see an uptick in fines and total settlements for the remainder of this fiscal year. So we will see quite a bit of traction with respect to the audit team. But we're on track to beat pretty much all of the statistical categories from last year. So the number of applications, number of audit cases, number of audit cases closed, total disciplinary actions, as well as total amount of fines assessed. So I don't know if that's a good thing. I'd rather it be zero, but you know, there the trend is that if you, and frankly, maybe this is something we could discuss with Representative Schultz. The trend is that with deregulation, you're going to see more enforcement issues.
Yeah.
Where we're going to, it's easier to get a license, and therefore you may see players who probably shouldn't have gotten a license got a license, and therefore we're taking action on for financial responsibility or criminal action or some other reasons. So
yeah.
I think that's one of the big reasons. That's the statistical update, but before I finish, I wanted to give you an update. I mentioned Representative Schultz. Based on his schedule, he will be here at 9 a.m. on May 29th. So he is coming to the May 29th commission meeting, and he'll be here to discuss kind of his vision for the future of contractor licensing. As you know, he was the one who proposed the bill in 2017 as well as 2019 to deregulate contractor licensing. So he was the one who pushed for no test and or no exam and no experience for specialties, as well as the most recent HB 187 deregulating no trade exam for the general contractors. So he's excited to come to the commission and kind of talk to you about his vision, as well as answer any questions that you guys have for him or any ideas you may want to. Any seeds you may want to plant in his head for future legislation, it can, you know, we can talk about all of that when he comes. So wanted to let you know about that. Also wanted to let you know, I don't want to give the exact date of this out, but I wanted to let you know that we are going to participate in the NASCLA, which is the National Association of State Construction Licensing Agencies. We are going to participate in their sting operation this year. It will be sometime during the summer. So we will be hitting unlicensed practice, practicing beyond the scope this summer, and we'll report back to you after we do that. I don't want to give the dates out, but this summer we are going to be participating in a multi-state sting operation targeting unlicensed practice. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any geographic areas?
The entire state.
The entire state. And every social media.
Yeah.
Everything.
So.
Facebook market.
Yep. We'll be hitting that. We'll be hitting that. So, wanted to let you know about that. So.
That sounds like a long order.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We don't have any rulings to review right at this point. We don't have any appointments here.
We don't. But before I begin the action items, did you want to have Mr. Jensen make his comment about the...
Well, if that's okay with the chairman.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. I would love to hear it.
Okay. So last month, we had a gentleman in here. He wanted to get licensed. He had a prior court conviction. And we all discussed his court conviction. That just kind of sets the ground rules for what's going on. And what I'm going to say, I don't want to influence how you guys decide on people, what your decision is on people and their licenses. But I want to explain myself and how I look at their prior convictions. Just to give you some background, and I know I have a lot of people ask me afterwards what was your thinking on your decision towards this guy. One of the things he expressed in here was, and I hate to bring up him, but I've heard it from other people in here too, is they say stuff like, well, there's two sides to every story. That was something we talked about afterwards, right? So what I look at when I look at their court hearing, or when Chris reads it to us, then I look and see how they pled. And if they pled guilty, they didn't put up any contest, there really is the two sides of the story that we have to look at. are, the, excuse me, that I look at is, this is what he pled to. And this is what, you know, there's two sides of every story, but the person, that the other side of the story doesn't have the opportunity to be here. And that's kind of the way, if I understand it right, Chris can correct me, when somebody pleads to something, that's kind of their record going forward with them in life. You know, this is how I pled to that. Now, they can say whatever they want when they come in front of us and meet somebody that finds out about it. They can say whatever they want. But when I'm looking at a document that says, this is just my my opinion, when I'm looking at a document that says, we read the police report, we read what they're pleading to, and then I look at how they plead. And so if they pled guilty to it, and I'm sorry I didn't have to, I'm sorry I didn't explain this before, but they pled guilty to it. To me, that's the way I look at, well, this is the side he took at that day when he was, you know, sworn in. We don't have the opportunity to swear somebody in again. We don't have the opportunity to bring anybody else here and swear them in again. We can't. It's not part of what we do. But that's how I look at it. I know I have a few people out there ask me, well, what's your thinking? You know, why do you think this or why do you think that? When I see the document, I read the document, that's how I'm looking at that situation. You know, that person wants to talk about that situation. I have to look at how they pled in that situation. And I don't think attorneys tell their client, when you're pleading to something, I don't know if he pled to something, I don't know if his attorney said, look, this plea is gonna follow you for a certain amount of time. This is always gonna pop up on you, and how you're pleading to something is your side of the story. That's how I look at it. I don't want to change your views. I just want you to understand my view, and I hope in the future when you look at it that you do the same as me. You look at what the story is and how it's going to work.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I mean, you know, what makes actually the commission great is the different industries that we represent, the different backgrounds that we come from, the different experiences we have in life. And, you know, we have to have people that tow to their, you know, to their morals and their beliefs and everything like that. So that's what leads to a good discussion. In fact, if we are all in unison on everything every time, this would be a pointless commission, to be really honest. I'm glad that we actually don't agree on everything and we have some discussion. So I love having you.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Thanks for having you.
Thanks, Joe. I want to echo Ed's comments. I mean, you should have. You do it the way you do. That's important. This is a board, a group decision. The last thing we want is everybody coming in looking at it the exact same way, making the exact same decision. That's the whole purpose of the board. Look at it from different parts of the industry, up and down the aisle, and I just wanted to echo Ed's response to you because it's exactly how I think.
Yeah, but Russell and I had to shake hands afterwards because we had differences of opinion, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I just feel that we come in with a pile of paper, somebody brings in a pile of documents, spend money on those documents, put trees into it, whatever you want to say. You know, we need to give those, I think, this is my opinion, I give those documents a, you know, I got away what's in those documents too, because it's just their foot that they put forward. Thanks for the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. All right, Chris Rogers.
Chair? Yeah, thank you.
Brother Rogers.
No, you're good. Mr. Chair. Just a few items that were listed on the agenda as other consent and stipulated orders that weren't specifically listed. These include John Erickson, Beto Stucco and Plastering, Inc., John R. Gage, and Sean David Smith, and Zachary Keith Yoakum. So those were items that were we listed as any other consented or stipulated orders, but we're going to specifically list them out. But let me go through these. The division is recommending that the commission enter the following orders: that findings of fact, conclusions of law, and orders enter against Solid Drywall LLC, RJ Roofing LLC, that orders of dismissal enter in favor of Infinity 00 LLC, Diamond Fence LLC, Gomez Air Conditioning LLC, Five Star Home Services, Inc., and that orders amending probation or ending probation or order to set aside and reinstate license enter in favor of Josh Randall Skadel, DBA One Man Handyman Construction and Design, JDM Tile Consulting LLC, and that default orders and failure to respond in other similar cases enter against Protocon Smart Security, Bowman Construction LLC, Dennis Levitt and Son Masonry Inc., Rainbow Sprinklers and Landscaping LLC, Toa Construction LLC, Renovo Remodeling LLC, Ledyard Homes Inc., Hall Fines Builders LLC, Sella Roofing and Remodeling Inc., Silver Creek Homes LLC, and Salt Valley Construction Inc. Mr. Chair, I would like to take these a little separately because I want to do more discussion in the stipulation. So the division is recommending approval of those orders under Agenda 4A through D.
So you'd like to have a motion to approve those?
Yeah.
Independent of
correct.
Section E? Okay.
Yeah.
Can I get a motion?
Russell Lamro, I make a motion to approve the recommendation. As stated, I would second that motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Chris, it's approved.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chair. I should make note of the Renovo remodeling case. That was one of significant problem. This was a gentleman or a company that had actually just blatantly took money from people and abandoned several projects. It is pending criminal felony charges.
In Utah,
and you can tell that he really doesn't care because he didn't even respond to his notice of agency action. So by virtue of this, we're revoking his license, but he's defrauded tens of thousands of dollars from homeowners. So, okay, so with respect to E, the division is recommending the following stipulations enter in favor of the following. Aligned Builders, Inc., K.C. Reed Carpentry, LLC, Canaan Haven Rainey, A&Q Custom Woodworking, LLC, S. Hunt HVAC Limited Liability Company, H.K. Mechanical, LLC, Designer Concrete, LLC, Arthur Roisman, Alder Electric, Inc., Matthew Lawson, Blaine Shaw Buckway, John Erickson, Beto Stucco and Plastering, Inc., John R. Gage, Sean David Smith, and Zachary Keith Yoakum. Now, before I present that to the commission, I do want to highlight a couple of the stipulations because they are particularly unique. With respect to Arthur Roisman, Arthur Roisman was the qualifier on an electrical company. We found that he failed to properly supervise the electricians that were on site, mostly because he had a lot of people that were unlicensed people working on two particular job sites in Utah County. So he had, they were neither apprentices nor journeymen. He had several unlicensed people doing electrical work where he was the qualifier. As a result, we issued him a $2,000, this stipulation issues him a $2,000 fine. He cannot be the qualifier any longer for his for that company. The company is called High Electric LLC. We are actually in current discussions with them about a stipulation as well. And that he acknowledges that he has to inform us of any changes concerning his contact information. But he stipulated and agreed to the findings. So that was his particular case. With respect to the Alder case, the Alder case involves Alder Electric, Matthew Lawson, Blaine Shaw Buckway, and John Erickson. Those are the four stipulations that involve Alder Electric in its totality. We did a very thorough investigation of this and had great working relationship with the attorneys for Alder Electric and the employees. We've come to an agreement, and this is the agreement that we've come to. It's pretty unique in terms of how we've structured it, in terms of how the division recommends this as well as for the parties. So as you may have recalled, This concerns the electrocution of an individual at the state archives. So I'll read the findings. On or about July 9th, 2003, the respondent company, Alder Electric, was first licensed as a contractor in the state of Utah, and respondent company engages in the electrical trade. In April 2016, the company was issued a citation by the division for failing to have the appropriate ratio of supervisor to apprentices present at a job site in violation of Utah Code annotated 58-55-50212. On or about August 27, 2018, an apprentice electrician employed by respondent's company was found dead at a non-residential Utah job site where respondent's company was providing electrician services. The apprentice electrician was not directly supervised by respondent's company's employees, as could be required in Utah Code annotated 58-55-50212. So as a result of that, the division and the Alder Electric have entered into this following agreement. Their license is revoked, but the revocation is stayed pending a term, a three-year term of probation, which was started effective as September 1st of 2018. They have to comply with the following conditions. They have to pay a $200,000 fine. $180,000 of that fine is stayed pending the successful completion of this probationary agreement. The respondent shall pay the unstayed portion, $20,000 of the fine, within 30 days of the date of the entry of this order. If the respondent violates the ratio requirements for conduct that occurred within the first year after the start of probation, as determined by the appropriate order, following a review of the facts and circumstances, both aggravating and mitigating, the respondent's electrical contractor license may be revoked, and the stay on the $180,000 balance of the fine will be lifted. If the respondent has no other violations of the ratio requirements within the first year after the start of the probation, the balance of the fine shall be reduced to $140,000, and the license and the respondent's license shall not be subject to revocation or suspension for the conduct solely related to the stipulation and order. If the respondent has no other violations of the ratio requirements between years 1 and 2 after the start of probation, the balance of the state fine shall be reduced to $70,000. If the respondent has no other violations of the ratio requirements between years 2 and 3 after the start of probation, the probation will be successfully completed and the state fine will be vacated, which means the only amount owing will be $20,000 of the $200,000. Unless modified by this rule or statute, the ratio requirements are basically the same as defined in statute, which is each licensed master or journeyman electrician may have only one licensed apprentice electrician working on non-residential projects, and that the apprentice and the supervising electrician are physically present on the same job site, on the same project or job site, but are not required to be within sight of one another, and each licensed master, journeyman, residential master, or residential journeyman electrician may have up to three licensed apprentice electricians working on a residential project, and the supervising electrician may not be physically present on the same project or job site as the apprentice, but is available to provide reasonable direction, oversight, inspection, and evaluation of the work of the apprentice so as to ensure that the end result complies with the applicable standards. In addition, the stipulation contemplates that neither their current qualifier nor the master electrician, so Matthew Lawson was the current qualifier and Blaine Buckway was a master electrician that was kind of the foreman of the job, cannot act as qualifiers for the company for the duration for two reasons. For they cannot act as qualifiers until they are fully licensed as master electricians for the company. And you'll know why, because in their stipulations, we actually demoted them from masters to journeymen. So their stipulations, both Matthew Lawson's and Blaine Buckway's, we have demoted them from masters to journeymen, so they can't be qualifiers for electrical companies, and they have additional 12 hours of continuing education in addition to their current requirement. John Jeremy Erickson cannot act as a foreman for the company as he was an apprentice. The other requirements of the stipulation are that within 120 days of the entry of the stipulation, Alder Electric, the owners, and the qualifiers have to meet with the electrical board to discuss the stipulation and also to discuss some of the concerns the electrical board may have with respect to supervision, apprentices, supervising apprentices, that kind of thing. In addition to this, we also required that the Alder Electric require that all of their employees, other than the owners and qualifiers, attend an in-person one-hour class conducted by the respondent and the division. The employees have to attend this within 30 days after meeting, within 30 days after the first meeting that they have with the electrical board. The class is to discuss supervision, ratios, duties of qualifiers, unprofessional conduct, and other safety and licensure requirements. No employee can be allowed on any job site after the 30 days following the meeting without first attending the class. Respondents shall maintain a record of the employees that have attended and email that list to the division. They shall notify and invite the division to every class to audit to determine the class satisfies the requirements. The respondent is to pay the costs associated with the stipulation in order. They have to maintain active licensure, and they have to notify us of any change in business address. That is the stipulation with respect to Alder Electric. The division is recommending approval of it. We think it is a fair and adequate stipulation. As I mentioned, Matthew Lawson, who was the qualifier, can no longer be the qualifier, at least while he's not a master. He was the qualifier at the time. We, in addition, have required that he be suspended for 30 days from the effective date of this, that his license will be restricted, that he can only act as a journeyman until November 30th of 2020, and until the later of November 30th of 2020, and that when respondent has successfully completed the additional continuing education requirements, which are that he is required to do an extra 12 hours of continuing education during his 2019 to 2020 cycle. Mr. Buckway, Blaine Buckway, was a master electrician with the company. He also has a 30-day suspension, and he also is demoted to basically the position of journeyman until the later of November 30th of 2020. And when he has successfully completed his additional continuing education, and he was assessed a $1,000 fine for his failure to directly supervise the respondent. So we actually assessed Blaine Buckway a $1,000 fine individually, in addition to the $200,000 fine that was assessed to the company. He also has another 12 hours of continuing education that he is required. And John Erickson was the apprentice who was actually supervising another apprentice. We decided that the action taken on him would be a $1,000 fine issued to him for practicing beyond the scope of his license. He's an apprentice. He's not allowed to supervise another apprentice. So his is a stipulated fine of $1,000. All of the parties have agreed to this agreement. The division has agreed. All of the individuals have signed the agreements, and the company has signed. So I wanted to highlight that because it's a very unique stipulation, but you were already provided these. I don't know if you looked through the 300 pages that we gave you, but I already provided these as well as all the other recommended orders. So to sum up, that is the recommendation of the division, the entry of those stipulated orders as I've outlined.
I have a question on the order.
Yeah.
You were thorough and detailed there, but on the compliance to ratio. So is that fall on the state investigators to follow up, or is the contractor charged with any kind of responsibility to show that?
Obviously, every contractor is responsible to make sure they're in compliance. So they are every plumbing and electrical contractor is automatically responsible to make sure they're in compliance. Our investigations team will investigate any complaint or allegation concerning a potential contractor being out of ratio or failing to supervise.
So you mentioned that all of their employees, all their electrical employees have to attend a class?
Correct.
Are you letting the company teach the class?
So the class is being conducted by the respondent and the division, kind of in conjunction. So the class...
I think the company is well capable.
The company is well capable of providing that education, but Doppel has to be invited to the class and can participate at their discretion.
So where is Mark Alder?
He is the owner of the company.
Is he no longer the qualifier?
He was never the qualifier. So he was never the qualifier, but he agreed to the stipulation. His qualifier was
Matthew Larson.
The company now needs to find a new qualifier.
I thought they can. And when is Sean David Smith? Is he been demoted also?
Sean David Smith is not part of this company.
Okay.
He is a separate. He's a separate.
Good.
I'm just trying to figure out a qualifier.
They will need to obtain a qualifier. You could ask. The attorney for Alder is here, but they will need a qualifier. But anybody other than these people that we felt were the wrongful actors in all of this, we could have somebody else be the qualifier. Could be someone inside the company. Could be someone outside the company. We felt these were the people that were directly involved in these circumstances.
So on the $200,000 fine, are they going to be allowed to bond for that, or does that have to be cash?
So the way you think about it is they don't need to bond because it stayed as long as they're compliant.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
So as long as if they're not compliant and they have another violation, then they're going to owe the $200,000 and they'll just have to pay it.
They have to pay the 20 up front. Though,
they have to pay the 20 up front.
With that 30 days.
In 30 days, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Between then and now, have they been okay to operate?
So far, yes. Yep.
So on a personal side, I've had very good experience with Alder Electric earlier. They always seem like it's a real unfortunate event.
I'm hoping it's an anomaly. It's an anomaly, a one-time thing. But it wasn't just the matter that someone got electrocuted. It was the circumstances surrounding the electrocution that were causing concern, an apprentice supervising an apprentice, a qualifier not appropriately supervising, a ratio not appropriate. So those were some of the problems that we...
Your supervision ratio is one, correct?
Correct.
So can you tell us one more time, maybe you have it off the top of your head, what are the supervision ratios again, so you can have a journeyman?
So Steve can talk about this. On commercial jobs for electrical, it has to be one-to-one. It has to be a master or journeyman for every apprentice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for residential jobs, it can be 3-to-1. So 3 apprentices for every 1 journeyman. But this was a commercial job. It should have been 1-to-1. Yeah.
How many employees did they have?
I don't know how many total employees. I think they have a lot. I don't know if we know how many total.
They're
40 electricians. So we're aware of 40 licensed electricians.
Chris, and the investigator did a great job, but what was really helpful with this was Alder Electric was very, very cooperative during the investigation.
I should mention that they were very cooperative. They wanted to be compliant. They at least informed us that they were taking steps to address it right then and there, even before we took action. They completely understood the actions that we needed to take. They entered into these stipulations voluntarily. So we just went back and forth to refine them. They understood that these were the steps they needed to take. So,
You identified 40 electricians. How many were journeymen and how many were apprentices, do you know?
Well, not all 40 of them were on this particular job site.
No, there were just 3.
Yeah. For this particular problem, the circumstances concerning this, but we can get you that if you want to know how many journeymen and apprentices. We can look into that.
Roughly, there was maybe 8 or 9 journeymen and 4 masters, I think.
I just curiosity, where was the accident?
The state archives.
It's so unfortunate.
Yeah. So the circumstances were pretty sad because the the wife of the
victim called and said, "Hey, my husband hasn't returned home." The next morning they went back and they found him still.
Yeah.
Still on the job site.
Yeah. So. Anyway, Mr. Chair, that's the recommendation of the division. We just need Part E approved, or a motion made on with respect to Part E.
Can I have a motion? Is anybody like to present?
I'm Joe Jensen. I recommend that we approve the stipulations and orders, stipulated orders.
A second to that.
Jason Peterson, I'll second that.
Any discussion from the group? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last item is this other business. It'll be super short, but I definitely wanted to let the commission be aware of pre-licensure course. So as you recall, HB 187 made some changes to who can teach the course, the three providers, Utah Home Builders, AGC, and ABC, the Associated Builders and Contractors. Currently, only the Home Builders and AGC offer the course. It is my understanding now that ABC will be offering a course in June. So I wanted to let you know they've been statutorily approved. They won't be coming back to this body to be approved because they've already been approved. But ABC is now offering a course, so we will have three providers. As of June, they informed me they will be offering a course. So I wanted to let you know. And that's it. So
I think they should all adopt a name.
So. Anyway, Mr. Chair, that's the end of the business. And if there's any other questions, again, a reminder, Representative Schultz will be here at our next meeting at 9 a.m. So.
You do have three providers now because Weber State until...
That's true. Weber State is a current provider until the bill goes into effect. So if you think about it, again, they get replaced. You are correct. Thank you for telling me that. Weber State is a current provider. And they won't be a provider after, but they're going to be replaced because ABC is going to be providing the course.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so no other discussion items for this group. Any other business? No? Okay. That's it. Next scheduled meeting is May 29th, and that's with Congressman Schultz. So think about everything you want to discuss with him. How much the pot you want to stir while you're here.
So, Mr. Chair, we just need a motion to adjourn. And then
yeah. Can we get a motion to adjourn? Yeah.
So moved.
All those in favor. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you.